taking the risk of not knowing as to whether we have presented the budget to the portfolio committee before the start of the financial year. I just want to indicate to the House how we had dealt with the allocation in this financial year, which is not different from what we had in the previous financial year. But what is of significance to indicate in this slide is that within a budget of 28 billion, there was an earmarked allocation for the disaster, for those disaster-stricken areas, which stands at 299 million. Chair, this forms part of the 16.9 billion human settlement development grant allocation. So we do not want to confuse the committee because as we report, we still report on the 16.9 without us dividing the 299 in terms of the disaster. But members are very smart because they know it is earmarked. So at some point we need to come back to the committee to say what has the 299 done in those disaster-stricken areas. So I just thought I must actually highlight that. The rest is standard because what we're trying to indicate that in terms of the division of revenue edge as well as in terms of the government-wide monitoring framework, we are still monitoring our grant relative to those structures and those frameworks. So we're not moving away from the presidency's guidelines in terms of reporting framework. Chair, this is also pretty standard in the sense that we're saying over the MTEF, we've got a budget of 28.1 billion and in the outer year of 32.7 billion. And this suggests that approximately 8.7.5% of our allocation increases from 2014 to 2016 and at the most 9% of our budget increases from 28.1 to 32.7. That's a generic increase as we move forward. But we all know that the 30 billion for 2012, 14, 15, and 15 is still in tentative allocation. So we're not certain of that. But the current scenario is that we are reporting on the 28.1 billion. But with the emphasis again on this one is the fact that while we've got a budget of 28 billion, 97% of it goes to metros, provinces, as well as our entities. And that's where the mandate of the department is actually escalated to. And this stands to say, in terms of those transfer payments, this is the division, and that takes almost 27.3 billion. Now, the difference between 27.3 billion to the 28, it gives us an operational budget of the department, of which this is where we will be reporting in terms of the quarterly. Now, if we take members to this slide, we just indicating to say the HSDG takes 60.9 and settlement development grant, the 9 billion. And then if one looks at the social household and housing and regulatory authority, it stands to take the operational budget as well as the capital restructuring grant, both at 982 million. That is transferred to SHRA. And then we have our NECHA receiving only 100 million in this financial year. There is no guarantee as to whether NECHA will still receive that capitalization over the next 2 years or the after years to come. And then while our HDA is receiving 97, and Chair must emphasize that that's only for the operational budget and not the capital. And then we have our grant, which was transformed from a certain schedule to another schedule, which is currently 5B. Okay, I think this is where we're going to indicate, and which the Chair was indicating earlier on today, we were to be at 25% at the department. And we certainly so agree with the Chair to say we have not achieved the target. But what I want to say to the committee to say why we take the figurative or the quantitative breakdown of the quotas into 25% throughout. In this financial year, we saw it reach that we project 17%. Because we realized over the years that in most of the time, within the first 2 months of the financial year, there's the slow spending. So we actually thought that for us to be able to meet the target and not draw money that we may not be able to spend, and we actually generate interest as we draw it from National Treasury. So we agreed to say the spending or the projection for these 3 months be sitting at 17%, and then the difference be broken down into the other quarters to come, which is July, September, and the rest of the financial year. So, Chair, your 25% in this financial year, in our language, it stands at 17%. But we are not proud, Chairperson, to say within the very same 17%, which we thought we would have achieved the targets related to the 17%, we only achieved 11%. Chairperson, I must indicate that some of the reasons that the earlier the debate was actually focusing on, it's mostly some of the reasons that we take as contributory to the non-financial performance of the department. If you would recall that the pledge that the CEO presented to say how much of the money that we have spent that has actually achieved the target of 75%, essentially we are saying inclusive of the financial resources that were transferred to provinces, only 11% of the 28 billion went to support those achievements that we had in first quarter. So our basic indication is that while we had a total of 28 and the 17% projection, there was a failure from our side to achieve the 6% as projected. So the 6% that we have projected actually stands within the operational budget of the department. Because, Chairperson, if you recall that if we transfer money to provinces, it's then to say 20% of our allocation has gone to provinces. So we accept that as an expenditure. But where it has been an expenditure in the departments or in the provinces, it's a story that conforms to the slide that I will talk to. But in terms of all the issues that we had raised, particularly the issue of the CETA, the issue of the vacation rate, and the COS has indicated initial steps that we as a department have taken to address them, and some of the strategies that will escalate the spending moving forward. She has already touched on it. But I think as I move along, I will indicate precisely some of the reasons why we could not spend on all the items or all the programs of the department. Chair, the other thing that is important for us to indicate to the House, given the fact that at the beginning of this financial year, as well as the number of branches that we have as department, of which there are 6 in number, but the program runs at 4. And we had this kind of a debate at the beginning of the year, but as a department, we did not want to take the issue of the fact that our budget structure has not aligned to the operational, to the organizational structure. We are working towards the issue of the 4 programs, of which in terms of the E&E, we are putting on that. Hence, we are saying that it may well be that one is looking at it to say, where is the branch of the COO, where is the branch of the CFO, and so the like. But it is embedded within the 4 programs that are reported. So if we look at the difference of the 3 billion that I indicated earlier on, the difference between that and the 28.1 form the part of the operational expenditure of the department. Now, if we look at this slide, we have an operational budget of 800 million for the year, for the operational cost of the department, and 15% has been spent. If you look at that 15%, it doesn't run far from 17% that we targeted. But if you take it out, obviously, when you bring in the issue of the transfers, which forms part of the Human Settlement Development Grant, it runs far because now and then we're sitting with 6% that is not spent within the same period. So ordinarily, we would have been expected to be at 17%, but due to the reasons that will follow, we stand at 11%. Now, my qualification to what I said earlier on is in relation to the Human Settlement Development Grant, which we had transferred to 7 provinces at that point in time. And 7%, Chairperson, it stands to tell you to say 7 provinces, it stands to tell you that only 17% of the grant was projected to be given to the provinces. The reason why I'm mentioning the 7 provinces, it's the fact that, Chairperson, the issues of Limpopo, which I want to believe that to date the committee is quite aware of, we are not transferred money to date to Limpopo. And that on its own suggests that Limpopo has not achieved its target to date. The business plan of Limpopo has not been effective. The business plan of Limpopo on its own, it stands to be a high risk at this point in time because of the issues that have been actually raised in detail by the provincial treasuries as well as the national treasury. But I must indicate that it may have been also a risk from the department to would have actually transferred the tranches to Limpopo without the issues being resolved. So with the practice notes that we received or the instruction that we got from National Treasury, the department and led by the Director General had to adhere to that effect. But here we've come to a stage as far as Limpopo and National Treasury and the issues that have been raised are concerned to say the accounting officer is taking a leadership decision on this one to say National Treasury must release the funds to Limpopo because Limpopo is not performing. The poor people are suffering in Limpopo because of the issues. Now we're suggesting that the processes must run parallel. Parallel in the sense that the processes in Limpopo are at a legal stage. And the last discussion that I had with the senior general manager this morning was suggesting that there may have been a verdict or there could be a verdict in 2 days' time in as far as those contractors and those contracts that have been, and in brackets, been quoted to be wrongfully awarded, will be awarded this afternoon as well. And that will actually tell us to say what is the status of Limpopo, what is the status of those contractors. Similarly, what is the status of those contracts that have been wrongfully awarded and allegedly so. So, but the process to run parallel suggests to us to say the business plan of Limpopo is suffering, the people of Limpopo are suffering, the programs that have been planned for by the Limpopo are not receiving attention. So the practicality of the DG's suggestion that least first national treasury releases or takes up the clause that suggests that the money be not transferred. So we are waiting for that kind of a verdict, but I must indicate upfrontly that the department, we are worried, we are not seated. We've taken it to the level where the DG has decided and approached national treasury to make transfers to the Limpopo.
Can I ask you again? Because you are saying if business plans extended to be at risk. So what you are saying now in your action plan, have you assisted Limpopo to come up with the credible business plans for 2013 and 2014? So that as you are saying, you are proposing that the process should run parallel, because if you are also clearing the business plan, have you assisted the province in terms of producing credible business plans for 2013 and then you leave the rest, is a little liar, but for progress that 2013-14, what have you done as a department?
The question is so relevant in the sense that and I was coming to that to say that I think the simple answer is to say to the chairperson, yes, we've assisted the province to a point that the business plan has been adjusted. So we've come up with a business plan that will actually take a toll of 6 months from September to the end of the financial year. Now, the DG's point in this, if not the accounting officer's stance in this, is that the funds that needs to be released to actually cater for the business plan that is amended for 6 months towards the end of the financial year 2014. So, Chair, yes, we have assisted and we are in discussion. As a matter of fact, next week I'll be sitting in the strategic plan session and then whereby we are going to address the amended business plan moving forward and the appointment of the contractors to the effect of those programs. But, Chair, I must indicate again that while there were no funds, the situation is not set in gloom because you will recall that as a department, we had a multi-year project. So the projects are continuing. And some of them have been paid, and paid by provincial treasurer. So that in extent that should all the processes finish, the national treasurer will take portion of the money that had been lended to the province against the money that we shall transfer. So essentially we are saying, while there is this kind of a challenge, the province went ahead and produce some of the targets, and as you notice that along the lines we're showing that case. The other issue, Chair, that needs to be flipped to the House, which we have since resolved as well, is the issue of the Mpumalanga. We had challenges in the beginning of the year, and I think at some point we did indicate that we took a very rigorous decision to say we shall not allow the accounting officer to just sign a business plan for the sake of signing and raising funds. So we wanted to confirm as whether the project and the targets that the province has set are achievable and realizable. And it was only found in Mpumalanga that there were some issues that reflect within the business plan. But I must also indicate again to the House to say we've only allowed Mpumalanga this financial year to put in their business plan the targets that could not be achieved in the past 2 years. Are we asking a premise suit? What I'm saying is that Mpumalanga has actually come up with challenges. And this can open a can of worms, I know, to the portfolio committee. But Chair, you will remember that there was also an element of money has been spent, but we cannot prove the size as well as the units. So we go back to the information that we gave to the portfolio committee to say, while they have spent, we are not comfortable and they've achieved that. And it was found to be true in this financial year to say the analysis that we had done as a national. And that also suggested us today we stop the business plan because it was not informative, it was not fair to us and just, but we wanted Mpumalanga to be coming in to our the Director General. So we allowed them on the basis of the fact that the current management, including the new DG and the new DOD, the chair and the members will also recall that most of the members in Mpumalanga have been shifted to other departments. So the department is sitting with new management. So we started as a department that while the issues in Mpumalanga, the current management, including the MEC, has nothing to do with the issues of the previous management. So we start with the province, we analyze the business plan, we assess it, we allow the province to bring forth all those targets that could not be achieved in 2 years' time to be paid within the current allocation. But there are investigations that continue or that are happening in Mpumalanga. And I think it's only the premier who could be in a position to can give the verdict of those investigations. But Chair, while we'd given this to Mpumalanga, we only gave them the transfers after we'd successfully ensured with ourselves that the business plan is credible. Then we gave them money in July. But they have since spent. So I thought I could spend time on this just for members to understand, particularly on the issue of the two provinces. Now,
just a follow-up on that one, Chair. What was the stance of the Treasury on your allocation, on your transfer to Mpumalanga?
No, Treasury agreed with us. We had to adjust the payment schedule. So the Independent Treasury agreed with the analysis that we had. And they've granted us permission to say Mpumalanga will receive its full allocation to that effect. So we've adjusted the...
Is it backdated or only for the 6 months towards the end of the financial
year? No, we're giving them all their allocation. For the April, May and June, we're giving them, but we've broken it just so that they're able to spend in this financial year, or the quarter, to say.
And you've put in GMU to monitor
the spending? That's definitely. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not going to dwell much on these reasons for understanding because the COO has touched on them, particularly when she was doing her first presentation. And most of them are in relation to what she has actually indicated, particularly with the issue of the SAFA qualification as well as the NAP. But Chair, we are also in discussion with our SIU because we still experience challenges. Chair, you recall that some of these come from last year. But we tried to put our strategies that will actually address the issues of the SIU as well as the office space. And this, the issue of the office space, if you look at it, it's also affecting the vacancy rate. Because at some point we would not have had a place where we would put the appointees or the vacancies that have been filled.
I'm going to
Okay. I think we did indicate to the house.
Yeah, Chairperson. I think this question of the office space, until I had the first one. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wanted to say, Chairperson, it's been stretching for too long. We've been talking about office space and you not being able, for instance, to fill in vacancies because of lack of office space. I think for the last 4 years, we are now on the 5th year. So really, really, what do you mean with lack of office space? Is it because you are looking for a particular accommodation belonging to so-and-so and are waiting until that particular? I mean, we don't understand. And then, of course, seriously now, you know, lack of office space resulting in the department not being able to employ the necessary personnel, and therefore that affects delivery at the end of it all.
Honorable Makale, this is what I call that withdrawn weight.
Just you okay to respond to this because she's a caretaker now.
It is not true that public works has done what it's supposed to do. There are key different stakeholders in this matter. If ourselves is public works, it's a landlord, and a service provider that has been appointed by the landlord.
Going to cost and the time frames. Where we are at the moment,
we need both public works and the landlord to provide us with a plan that is going to indicate that these are the processes that are going to take place in order to make sure that the building is being renovated or reconfigured according to our needs. That's where we are. But also, let me just indicate that.
And where is this other part you spoke about, the 4%? Who doesn't own the land and the property, but is in between that process?
Well, there is arrangement between the landlord and the service provider. Remember, ourselves, we are the client to Public Works, so we rely on Public Works to take care of all these other matters.
Oh, you know, Chair, sorry for interjecting. The tenant is yourself, and the Public Works must secure that space for you. The landlord must make it to your requirement. So there is no role of this other person coming in there, because unless if this person has been given the contract to give you accommodation and he does not have, or she does not have this property, she must go and negotiate or renegotiate with the landlord. But otherwise, it's a very straightforward thing. You say what you want, the landlord says this is what is going to cost you, Public Works agree, you agree, they stand, they go and change the boardrooms and whatever you want to change, and you go in there. There are no other complicated processes.
Just to add, maybe by now, you know who is this landlord now. By now, who is this landlord, and who is this successful provider?
Who should negotiate on their behalf? They should bring the landlord here. Who is the landlord? Even if we know the landlord, but remember that we are being represented by Public Works. Public Works is taking care of the issues. The latest is that part of the information also is not filtering through the leadership of Public Works. That is what we have also come across last week. But what I can say is that the Director General of Public Works is assisting the department. So what we have now decided to do is to go direct to him rather than being delayed by the officials of Public Works who are not taking the process forward as speedily as possible.
We
just have to do that. I support what Honorable Machoba is saying. Because I think we are paying. Public Works is paying the rent.
No,
in that place, and it's not occupied. So it's a waste of taxpayers' money. Yes, this is real. Yes, it's a matter.
My last point, if I may, the issue of payment for the accommodation.
Okay, I think they must give us, they must provide you with a report of the processes so that you don't go and start something there and you have this based on what you said.
If we continue in this fashion as a department, and the reason why I put it under financial implication is because on its own, there's a financial implication, because we are not paying for the lease. We are still debating as to whether we should pay or not. The chair and the committee come from the audit.
presentation, whereby we were also found wanting as far as the contingent liability is concerned. And that contingent liability is precisely the fact that we are not even paid publicly. That's the lease agreement that we have signed, but we have not honored it. So there's a bit of a debate as to whether we should pay while the process is unfolding precisely. That's the kind of a debate, yeah.
But
so we...
The public
were
paying the
landlord.
The public...
Are they paying?
Chair, they are sending us the invoices. We have gone to Public Works in writing to request them to stop paying because that was not part of the arrangement. We cannot pay for the building which we are not occupied.
But we want a specific Friday,
I think it must include the amount that Public Works has paid us for.
Okay, we'll provide the detailed report to that effect. Chair, under the issue of the NAP, we have touched it, but we must indicate that while there are some processes that are going there, running at the slow pace, we've got a number of processes in terms of the appointment of service providers that needs to be finalized for us to take the NAP program moving forward. But Chair, I must also indicate here, because at some point we will come back to the committee and say we have not spent the entire allocation. And we debated this with National Treasury. One could just as well say, when we are sitting as a department, we do not want to surrender funds. But this is a special earmarked fund for this program. These funds have been given to us by National Treasury on a certain benchmark. But we've actually, since the assessment, realized that not all the funds will be spent in this financial year. But so as a department, we are sort of assessing as to whether we should return them on the basis of the program itself for the next year, but more funds on this program. But we're trying to upfront, because by the time we come back in March, we shall not have spent an entire allocation on that. So I just...
has got to do with the upgrading of e-commerce segment.
Yeah.
At the same time, UNAS has got to do with training the municipalities.
Mm.
And then the upgrading, it includes its basic infrastructure. So why didn't I stay as a challenge?
This program is for the training. So it's specific. It's not for the upgrading. It's like ensuring that those municipalities are ready. That's the maintenance part of it.
Okay.
Hence, I'm saying it's specifically earmarked for the maintenance of those municipalities that are actually implementing the upgrading of informal settlement.
So
it's not an infrastructure money, it's an operational
money. Why are you not providing? What is the problem?
The number of municipalities that have been earmarked for this financial year will not cater for the whole budget. So it meaning that the number of people come against them, they are less. The budget that has been added. The budget is more than the number of municipalities that have identified to provide training to in this financial. That's the point that I'm raising.
I'm over going for an TDS. Can't you have an arrangement there to expand? Don't you?
No, they do. They write for other...
Because
the issue of training is very much important.
When's the reason who's in a budget? In a case of a target in. Because all the time they're not seeing the decision. Because
check. You will recall that when we request the budget, it is based on the target that needs to be approved. Now, the NAP budget was given to the department without any targets. So it was by National Treasury.
No, but so, it can be any clear spend what, if you have got 5 municipalities that must benefit from this, use the amount that you will feed those people, then the surplus. The law allows you to read
that.
Do something else. Even if it's not raising chairperson.
Chair, the honourable member is correct, but like I said, this is earmarked specifically for the program. You know, there's quite a lot of capacity that is needed. Municipal level. Why can't you, because it's for training of the municipalities. So the number that you have targeted for this financial year, why can't you increase the number and spend for training? It must be particularly for training of, and the training of the municipalities, I don't think it ends to the municipality and then
Not to the
local municipality. Because what was the problem? You remember, another remember, where we were in the Northern Cape, there were the challenge, there were the district municipalities, Apo Batake Lwe Kona, in Mick Bangi. And now even they are unable to increase even their capacity to assist the other municipalities that are not accredited. Why can't you work it around? As long as Australia are within the audience and other ideas for the national transfer, that this money must be spent. Now, the national transfer, what in the last year? What must I spend? So, can I have a full amount of I spend? Rather than spend the money, what I need to spend, because of who holds right into prison, into Nancy. Why can't you work around along those? Mr. Mbeck,
No, Chair, I agree with you. It's just that but the CFO has already responded that this is a ring-fenced funding.
For training.
Yes, and you cannot move it to do something else.
Yes.
Now, I agree with you.
Yes. There is a demand for training. And you can even, from those municipalities, get training. At a particular level, your municipality, it does not necessarily end to the officials of that particular municipality. What about the communities that are there within that municipality? But you have a program to make sure that, for instance, about wastewater treatment. I'm saying that, but you say now, as our service within that particular municipality, you provide a service.
Yeah, I agree with you. I really agree with you. But I think the pace of this program, it hangs on the municipality. And I think in this instance, maybe as department, we should request you to work with us from the municipality side, you know, to get the municipalities to move a bit faster. I think we need.
This is another week. That's what's gonna happen. Treasury is gonna take away this part. How many times do we sit with municipalities who have come to us and say, "Please, Parliament, help us with capacity and training." Now we've got funds, and we are. This doesn't make sense.
You know, Jefferson, I think my eyes have been opened today to something else. We have said many times, I'm thinking of the rural areas. We are saying, for instance, in the rural areas, we have said this, in the rural areas, there should be some few people who have been trained in each area, people who can, for instance, look after some of the tasks that need to be done in the area of human settlements. Local people, you see. And you are telling me that you've got money to train, but you are not using it. The youth is there, middle-aged people are there, and all we need to do in terms of the municipalities, of course assisted by DHS, is to organize programs, training programs, plan it thoroughly. We have to do who can do the foundation very well. Utata, who can do the ward very well, the bridging. Utata, Nobangumama, who can do the roofing. I mean, all those, we need those people. We don't have them.
And it's in the Rajori treatise, recently, where President Ake, Maltake, can you see it? I'm not in the and we're expecting provinces to respond and report as such on this. And the last one is the issue of the priority allocation. So you will notice that we have them, Duncan Village to our Western Cape, which is our dromedaries. And that's also a big part of the outcome aid and priority program. So this is actually reported separate chairperson, and Julie is the mastermind behind the priority projects. Chair, if we move, and then I think this is where...
All this disaster.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the bone of contention. Our provinces, I will report on the first quarter, and we see it in a disaster. Is there any report?
Yeah, there is a report, and I think it's few provinces that have reported to date. And I think it's just a flaw from our side not to have actually brought that breakdown. But we can provide a report to particularly, because it's supposed to be reported separately, because it does not form part of the other grant.
We need to get a specific report on this one. Because there's quite a lot of disasters even this year. The Eastern Cape is the corner. The Fulu was good. Eastern Cape from that 94,000 That's 94 million. Is, you know, what have they done? But we need to know, each one of us, each province,
For all that report, why does the Western Cape not get allocation?
Okay, I think the remember the disaster comes from the disaster management fund. So during the allocation, at that point in time, it was not found worthy for Eastern Cape to have had, Western Cape to have had harsh disaster. So they were looking at those disaster-stricken areas that had actually been so harsh that needed more attention than what the Western Cape had. So essentially, and Western Cape, does it have disasters? That's the question, because it never has. But it's considered. Okay. But just to respond, I think it's considered under the Disaster Management Fund rather than Human Settlement taking a responsibility to it. But it does have a budget allocation under the Disaster Management Fund from the other department. We will. Hi. I'm going.
Sam, on the floor, please. So help me, please. And then I've got photos now. Lucky for our the director from Christian managed to do this. We found the ball every corner. But the problem is now they've taken the photo and then they left him. They were so trapped. They deported the local government. They came up. But the problem is now, how long is this going to take? Because I've got photos now. Everything. Yeah. How long is it? When you say it's disaster, why is it taking so long? And if it's disaster, no.
Okay, I think they, and I don't know, Eastern Cape has, it's one of the provinces that is reporting on this disaster, but I think it is best for us to give the separate report to this. But as far as the Western Cape, in terms of the business plan, there's also emergency funding that is provided by the province. So in all the, in fact, this is just an additional money to those particular. So we are not isolating Western Cape. It is by default that the others are getting it. I'm just qualifying your people. Okay, and we know it may well be that we are laughing, but we do know the seriousness of those areas that are being raised. Okay, I dwell much on Mpumalanga and Limpopo, and I must indicate that at that time, including the 224 of Limpopo, but you will realize that I did indicate that we have transferred the 220 already to Mpumalanga. But at that time, and it's unfortunate that I cannot, and I will hide, and I'll seriously hide that slide, Chairperson, of the second quarterly report. But today, given the fact that we were still at 16.9, we transferred to the provinces 2.9 billion, excluding the 545 at that point in time. Now, within the framework, and I did indicate with him in Bopo that while we did not transfer, there was the same issue that was going on. Similarly with Mpumalanga. So the work was still continuing, despite the fact that there was money. They knew that the money was going to come. And the Mpopo knew. And in any case, Chairperson, I must say, the Mpopo had an agreement with the provincial treasurer that they would pay those invoices that the work had been verified by the committee and national and provincial treasury. But then from Mpumalanga, we had since transferred. But I did indicate the issue of the projection of 17%, and only 14% of that 17 was spent by the provinces, and that takes the call against the 16.9 billion. But in other chair, if you look at it, we would be, or we were supposed to be sitting at 25%, as it just suggested. But like I indicated that often in these 3 months, we don't spend the entire budget, and we end up actually withdrawing money that is not going to be spent, and then we incur the interest at the country. So we were caving against such a malicious financial management. But here I must indicate that we're not proud of the spending, but moving forward, Chair, and which is the slide that I'm going to try admittedly to hide for the members not to see, to say this expenditure was brought forward to MINMEC to the point that we had even identified some provinces that we realized that we not be able to spend their money during the financial year. But we have put measures in place because I think this is one of the crucial years where we do not want to surrender funds to National Treasury. It's one of the years that we wouldn't want to take money from one province and give it to the other and let the other province suffer. The provinces have actually indicated within the framework of the MINMEC that we had when we presented the figures that they've got commitments, the budget will be spent. Now, if one looks at the spending of September, The notion is that we still have Limpopo, we still have Free State, and another challenge in terms of the provinces that we target them not to spend their entire allocation by the 31st of March the following financial year. But I must indicate that within the same breath of real bringing treasure into the picture as far as Limpopo is concerned, we have two provinces that have financial treasure in terms of the projects that are running, in terms of the projects that are visible, in terms of the projects that the minister would also want to go and showcase with. It's the Northwest as well as the Northern Cape. So the issue of the Northern Cape is the standard. We know that the allocation there is little, but there's more work that is being done. There's issues at Lerato Park. So as a department, we looked at it from the Dover teacher to say, we cannot afford to surrender funds to National Treasury, whereas there's a province that is in need and it is spending, and the spending is visible and there are targets outside there. So we're playing around with that kind of analysis to say, while we've got money with Limpopo, we are not going to surrender it. We will use it for that direct purpose. But also significant, and which is the biggest spender or the biggest budget taker, is the Gauteng. We raised so many issues with Gauteng at that point in time. They did not show a favorable spending pattern because they are sitting with a budget of 4 billion. We are expecting at least the province, which is the Gauteng, because it's assisted by the metros as well. There are three metros in Gauteng. So the Gauteng essentially does not have any reason to say they cannot spend their budget, because there's a USDG that takes the 3 billion at the most. So we're looking at the USDG assisting the HSDG in Gauteng. But if Gauteng is not spending, then we are finding ourselves with challenge. To say, it means that at the end of the period, it's either we fiscally dump the money, we don't know where the money is going to, because if they spend towards the end of the financial year, one asks a question to say, you could not spend for the whole year. Now you get yourself to spend 3 billion in 1 month. Then it's a questionable offense. To say, how did you manage to spend the entire 70% in 1 month? So we're looking at that kind of analysis to say, how they must pull up its socks, because we're becoming very hard, because it happened with Gauteng in last year. They had a very slow catch in spending, and then toward March, almost 70% of the funds were spent during February and March. While we understand somehow that there are contractors who do not claim or provide invoices, but that does not stand to reason to give us a rationale to say they can spend more money in towards them. It's seen as a fiscal dumping. So, Chair, this is the status of the expenditure as at 30 June. There is a bit of improvement from my side. I know that we are going to be stretched on this one because the provinces did not perform. From a front, is saying that we ask for an amnesty from the Portfolio Committee because they do not want to see the current spending as we date. So I'm going to skip the other slide. Okay, I put on the slide earlier on to say, of the 14% that we spent, we managed to deliver 24,249 units that are divided into top structures as well as our sites that we serviced. And okay, I think if you look at Mpumalanga, this is where we are saying we are monitoring the business plan very closely, because even last year we had a challenge of Mpumalanga not servicing. But at least there's an improvement as far as the size and top structures are concerned at Free State. But the problem with Free State is that there's no spending. So there's no correlation between what is achieved on the ground and what is actually being spent. So we trying to come up with that analysis. So I can't talk much of that analysis because the committee does not want to see my figures. It's fine. So we move to a person. So these are the issues as far as HSDG is concerned. And this is just an indication of where we were supposed to be and where we are, and the deficit, which caused us to say, if we do not look at this slide this way, we will be missing the boat. The reason why we are bringing this slide is like, in a month, we are projecting to have received, to have achieved at least 25%. And if we don't achieve the 25%, what I'm saying about the percentage that is not achieved, and it sort of relates itself to the others. And this is where we find ourselves having units that are not achieved by the 31st of March. So they build on to the other, and it becomes so heavy for provinces to achieve the target that they could not set, the 25% building over to the other 25%. So this is also for June. So, and then, Chairperson, this is a slide that may not be of interest, but we just want to indicate that there are funds that have been allocated to other programs that are contributing towards the development of a house or development of top structure or at the site, and we are also building funds on that one. So there is an expenditure against it. The expenditure is not only on sites and top structures, but it's only on the other fields, including the purchase of land, as well as the EDPLs, the more things that is embedded within the other, that is 112 million that is spent. So it could be a more breakdown of this other. But of significance is just for us to show, to say, much money was spent on this. We have rectified to develop 131 in various areas and mostly Eastern Cape. And then upscape, we all know about it. And we've unblocked projects to develop 2 million and then the pieces of land. So this is just an indication of the fact that not all money is spent on site, but on other interventions as well. So we still spend on some of the challenges, and the most important one is the fact that we've observed that while we had a pipeline workshop, provinces are not adhering to that pre-planning as well as the pipeline planning. So we realize that while there are projects that have been given, they are not as credible as one would want to see. Hence our stand today, we turned down the business plan, particularly in Mpumalanga, because this is where the issues have been coming. So we are suggesting to them to say that while we know that there are issues of land not available, But now there's also an element of the reporting that is not always in line with the business plan. And this chairperson is affecting us in terms of compliance. Because if we are also found wanting, the units, the targets that we report are not in line with the business plan. So the two are not talking to each other. And while this is an administrative matter, but it does tell a sense to say, if your business plan is not reported the way, then it means that the monies that have been spent are not aligned to the business plan or the reporting as such. So this is the kind of analysis that we've observed as a department. And then we put our interventions into picture, and between that period and to this point, we have seen much improvement, because now the provinces as well as municipalities are actually talking to each other in as far as the planning is concerned, in as far as the procurement of the projects are concerned, particularly the metros, or the provinces that have metros, because the USDG must run parallel to the issue of the HSDG. But then we also forcing provinces to utilize HSS, because we pay for this HSS, but we could not get a value for money. Hence, we're not getting the value of the reports that we receive from HSS that do not talk to the business processes. So it has been emphasized to the provinces as well. So I'm going to skip this slide, and then, yes. The Urban Settlement Development Grant, Chair, we did not give the analysis of the June, but there has been an improvement as far as USDG is concerned. From the time that we reported to the point where they had closed their books, so they were sitting at 94%. And the 94% goes back to the discussion of yesterday to say we are channeling provinces to spend the metros rather, to spend the money in terms of infrastructure development rather than all the other issues. And I think that debate is continuing. And then we come back to the committee to say we've agreed in terms of the policy, in terms of the framework, and what is it that we want the USDG to buy. The chair allows me, the rest of the slides are talking to different metros. Thank you.
All right, and
the department, please do us a favor, please. Where we are coming to you with what is on the ground, please do a follow-up. In 2009, when it comes to the question of the revision, we brought you, for my concern, even the photos that we must follow up, for your information, we are doing all of a sudden that purpose. We phoned the regional director at Amatol. They said, no, my area is not on the budget of the day for the year. Starting from 2009, she was still there. We brought you, we gave you photos, everything. 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13 now. We are dealing directly with the provinces. We are the one who are dealing with the provinces. We do debate with them sometimes. But when we are coming to you, and there's people who are working together, if you don't follow up, it's a problem. Now, I'm going to show you now the house and the public station and the number on 121. Where the old data they're looking at the house at all. Starting from 1998, I'll show you the places. If you can't follow up, because you have to transfer the money to the provinces, and then you are letting them say they follow up, please do us a favor. When we have come with information to you, we are things that we are going to make them say they follow up.
Thanks, Admiral. I think the benefits of being in Parliament, you play an oversight in your constituency area as these members, all of us here. If issues that are brought forward by the members of the portfolio committee, singathemba kanjani ukuthi ebunyanisweni into zabantu zizawa-stress xa ilungu lepalamente elisiza ne-constituency concern, constituency concern, it does not matter as long that issue is going to be addressed within the precinct of the law. umuntu ona 79, ona 89, ona 100 years, xa engenandlu, what do we say as government, who is caring? I'm trying to, le nto ndiyanike siyicinga, what do we say? Xa ungenawurespekta thina, we go to the constituency, I mean to oversight. Sihamba nama-officials e-department. Masibona ECB apha silindele uba esi CB esisibonayo. It must not wait for the report that is going to be produced by Parliament. The reason yoba why we are accompanied by the officials is to ensure that those things that can be addressed immediately, they are addressed. Since I hope I see report, other citizens and if it's either side address one, two. In fact, it's not like we never report. In the local constituency, says that the members of parliament were here. Who tell you when the parliament is gone out, there's no impact. If one of us said, I think I have a figure on the parliament, I'm about to bag it up for you. Who tell you? See, I'm all like, mind is big. But somehow, now I'm because we are spending money. Awa nda la report kwa ibuya. Aba chukuti komiti mwone, isen dead, we area itile. And then you assemble your team to go and address that particular matter. Owa ina ni enjoy, usha la ee TV, ni pa ee, ni gobalo huu, ni TV, ni TV. Ni wali TV, ni whole team, tama neo, say it ya buye, ae toilet ha buye. That is the end of the day. Na inje zi, ilo oto mato. Ye mato. Ukhulumente wabantu nobantwana bam. Government of the people. Mna ndiyayicaphukela as a portfolio committee member ndiphume ndiye on the ground. Kungakho mahluko honorable Matali. Mawufikile makuthiwe bebefikile ootata uMatali la. Kuyabonakala. That's why we are doing the oversight. So yabona nje ukuthi ootata uMatali. It's the same thing that applies to Takastat. And there are five toilets gone by the Takastat. So please, so sithethise ukuthi into ezincinci ziyayizala into ekulu. You must be careful. Mamjoko ufuna aye emahlathi.
My question was going to be on lead, but before I do that, I think that Matola is very correct. But I read in a local newspaper, the Daily Dispatch, that the province has got a program for rectification. I was very happy to see that, and I read, but at the end of that article, I was very disappointed because I found that my area, Amahlathi, was not included. And then in that area, all the RDP villages need rectification, all of them. Actually, the committee saw one of them. You remember when we went to Queenstown Center, the last area you visited is there, Kubusi, the houses were literally falling apart. But anyway, I think the main problem is, what do I do? When I see that the province has got a program, I find that still this program is not going to satisfy everybody, like I say, particular areas have been left out. How do I approach that to ensure that the province, you know, does what it should do? Because some of the villages that have been left out are actually villages that were built during the time of Mama Usang. In other words, they were the first ones. So you can imagine the condition in which they are. But the question I was going to ask was on this land question. I think you keep saying that one of the reasons why there has been understanding is because there is not enough or there isn't an availability of suitable land for human settlements. But at the same time, this is on slide 55, for example, but at the same time, in slide 20, you are giving us the amount of land that has been identified, and you seem to be happy with that. Isn't it a contradiction? At one point you say there isn't enough land, at another point you say you've got the land. What do you do with that?
I don't think we need them, so I think it's... Because you can't complain that you don't have land, and you on the other side you have land. You have asked the question, tell us from the land that you have already identified, how much land has been utilized, how many units that you have built on that particular land. And it is my comment, we ask that question. So, kind of a contradiction, one thing I want to say. That was now. Last seven, we defeated the Inazagaga president. We defeated it. But what have you done on that land? How many houses that have been built? Where? Never. I think we'll be reporting better. Since you are Umshaba Aung, meeting is the last 7,000 hectares in I know what you're talking about, but the number is now 7 hectares. I mean 7,000 hectares. So there is a contradiction. That goes, you have one of
no
either.
No, Chairperson, I want to make an example. You bought a very huge amount of land, Kunubia. When we thought we were sure about our hectares, the report says this line is about the flight, the noise count of stay. So already it's a minor. So when we ask ADA to as quickly assemble land, that does not therefore suggest that land is immediately readily available for human settlement. You still have to go through all the methods to ensure that you check whether is that land indeed suitable for human settlement. And that is why we've asked them that let's not just rush for the numbers. We need to make sure that as we buy, we then spend time with a technical team to check whether can that land be suitable for human settlement. That is basically areas where we all made some shortcomings, but you're correcting them. We're not only rushing the target, but looking at the suitability of the
land. I think the land that has been acquired, it's more than 33,000. If I'm not making a mistake from the report. But at least this 7,000 is the land that has been acquired, identified, acquired, and is for and standing now, or for the release. And there's that, you remember, there's that committee, and there are the committee, a responsible for who release alone has. Nithi nina nino mshaba hapa, kanti kukwana lawa wafana wa ubuwa mbileyo. There's a committee here, rata vena kashi. Ya posi, jifuna nito nini ya posi sa shali.
Chair, the 7,000 hectares of land, yes, we have exceeded the target of 2014. However, remember in one of the slides, we indicated the provinces where the HDA has got the service level agreement with. The 7,000 hectares of land is not spread in all the provinces. That's where we need to enhance our working relationship with the provinces and the municipalities, because in any case, the land that is being acquired or identified by HDA is for the development of human settlements. Now, what we are doing now, what we are doing going forward, is to ensure that as the provinces, they plan for the delivery of the units, but they must also indicate where is the land coming from. We want to enhance that relationship because you can't plan for the units also when you don't know where land is going to come from. And if there is not that enough collaboration with the HDA, then the provinces then will say, no, we don't have enough suitable land. The 7,000 could have been more if there was enhanced working relationship with all the spheres of government.
Can I also add to the perhaps...
I think I'm going to add a bit.
I think you absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head. As we go around, there are municipalities that have never heard of HDA as we go on the ground. So I think we have to work harder with the provinces and with municipalities, especially our bigger metros, and they do need to engage them. I just want to, whilst I now have a turn here, I haven't said much tonight. I've been listening a lot. And I want to say that I think this presentation for me has been quite depressing. Yesterday I felt great. I felt we'd broken through and we'd made progress and we were really moving. I want to say, sitting here listening to this now, and there are some fundamental problems that I can see arising, and they've been arising year after year after year. We've had a whole turnaround strategy, which is now all in place. And yet, we are still hearing the same problems. We're starting off the first quarter with underspending. And I can go through these slides here. And you pointed it out. You know we were going to pick up on it. And so I'm not going to go into detail on it, but it's there. And it's in the first quarter, we know that. I don't know what the second quarter is going to be looking like. And at the source is this question of vacancies. Now, you talk about here, and I'm not terribly sure when you talk about the 74% of vacant posts are already in the process of being filled. Now, I don't know whether that 74% is bodies now sitting in offices or whether you still got adverts up there. And that still leaves 26%. And this thing about the public works and the offices and the excuses that come, last April we were promised that these vacancies were all going to be filled. Now, I'm saying, are we serious about what we are doing here? So please, I'm saying, let's go away and let's have the will, you know, to work on it and to come with something more positive out of it. So, and public works, that thing with the offices, somebody can take a hold of that and deal with it. It's been on the agenda for far too long. I think I'm going to leave it there. The question of accreditation. Now, this is another issue. Mr. Mapita. No, I'm not opening it. But I'm saying that, you know, whilst all the policy and everything and the talk around this, but this accreditation, if the municipalities are ready and they've got the capacity, they can move into this presentation 3 and 2 and everything. So, and there are municipalities that are ready to do this, but there are some that are there in the accreditation 2 that certainly don't look as if they're going to be able to make the accreditation. Now, are we going to force them into 3 because they're sitting at 2? I think we need to be very careful about that.
I think to stress on that one of HDA, I'm really worried, Chair, with HDA. I spread anger to all the provinces, especially in Mpumalanga. There is nothing known about HDA. I even went to HOD, a province. Yeah, so there are no offices at all. Especially there is a place like Saikon during our oversight at Balfour. Those people are struggling. They have been struggling for more than 10 years near land. And nothing is known about the HDA, really. I'm worried to share about that one.
The head. Not the crew. Not the crew. This head tomorrow afternoon. The head of these institutions, they must be here. See, all. Not only tonight, all of them. Meeting here to Ingo, 2. All of them, the heads, in Togo. As a funny crew, don't want the crew members. Funny man, I shall not say it. This is a man in Kaila and Yenda. Why are saying that? It was in Cape, other acid. Baka Christ, the way it is. The funny is, he fell in Togo. Oh, the Kumbula members, who seems, man seems. Want to know what in Tony Kalins about HDA, these areas is far and easy. Because the food at HDA and getting Pumum Saba band to back anyway. Otherwise, we had a very, 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 you know what I mean? What this exercise, that is oversight. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That is not oversight. The oversight, the oversight is interrogated. And now what I like about you, you are honest, honorable member. We need to appreciate. It does not matter, nobody is frustrated, it's distressing. But once we get an honest report, we are able to assist them. Because if we are listening to all these principles today, there are areas that we have committed that we are going to assist you in making sure that Esdo is in Indarishayo, the answer. That is oversight. Then I'm going to ask a better portfolio for an event, but come up, in any better, I'm going to be honest. Once you are honest, you are not going to be but once you come up front, you are not going to be so you are not going to be because there is no us, there is no them. Papa, you are not going to be government, so okay. Bottom line, outside there, people know that all of us are in government. They don't know parliament, they don't know the executive. So that is why when we get under this roof, we must work closely to make sure that we achieve a goal that brought us here. Thank you very much. Let's meet tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you.